Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, October 17th. Coming up today, we'll hear KMFM's tribute to Liam Payne after the shock news of his death at the age of 31. We'll also hear from tourism bosses on their plan to boost visitor numbers in Kent over the next 5 years. But first, taking a look at our top story today, an elderly couple left stranded at a bus stop in Maidstone have ended up taking the bus company to court. 83-year-old David Poole and his wife Gwyneth were trying to catch the Arriva number 6 from the town's bus station at the Mall shopping centre to get back to their home in East Peckham. The couple say the bus turned up on time but didn't stop. David's been explaining the whole story to the podcast.
We were left standing at a bus stop in the cold and ignored by the driver who drove straight past. We were advised by customer services of Arriva to take a taxi instead and claim the cost of the taxi fare, which we did. Arriva were not interested in any way in settling that claim. They made all sorts of excuses for us not being able to board the bus, particularly claiming that we were never at the bus stop in the first place, and we were forced to go to the county court, small claims court, in order to recover the cost of the taxi fare, which we did. We have been issued with a county court judgment, which in default has been awarded to us because Arriva have completely ignored any communication since then. The legal department at Arriva appear not to know anything about this CCJ, and have had to ask me for a copy for their records so that they can pursue it. To date, we have not had any satisfactory response from Arriva. This is awkward, upsetting, particularly as my wife has dementia and we were left standing in the cold.
It's been a month since the county court judgment, and Mr. Poole has even suggested he's contemplating whether to get bailiffs to see some of Arriva's property. We've asked the company for a response, but we haven't heard from them yet.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a three-year-old child's been flown to a London hospital after being knocked down by a car in Maidstone. It happened on the A26 Tunbridge Road near the Esso Tesco Express at around midday. It's understood they suffered serious injuries and a cordon was put in place. Firefighters have put out a blaze involving around 100 tonnes of scrap metal at a recycling site in Gravesend. Crews were called just after midnight and initially told people nearby to keep windows and doors closed. That warning has now been lifted. It's not thought anyone was hurt. A person's been treated by paramedics following a fire at a house in Snogland. Crews were called to Roman Road just before nine last night and told people to avoid the area. It's not yet known how it started. The family of a dad of five found dead in his room just days before his 40th birthday say they still don't know why he died. Lewis Leggett was originally from Herne Bay but had been living in Maidstone. The former Herne Bay High and East Kent College student has been described as a much-loved son, brother, father and friend. Now, Kent Online's been told two huge housing developments in Kent need to be done properly after campaigners lost a long fight to stop them. 5,000 properties are set to be built on Lenham Heath with a further 2,000 in Lidsing. Attempts at the High Court to get judicial reviews on both developments failed. As a Green councillor, Stuart Jeffrey voted against them both. He's now the leader of Maidstone Borough Council and has been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the Local Democracy Reporting Service.
The two developments have been passed by Maidstone Borough Council by the previous administration. We weren't keen. We voted against them, but they now are set in stone and will happen. So from my perspective, that we need to make them the best that they can possibly be. That means we need to make them as sustainable as they can possibly be. We need to make sure they're connected with the right infrastructure. So we will be working hard to make sure that the development happens in the best possible way and isn't just allowed to run freeform. So we're going to be working with developers and most importantly with the local community, the local councillors and the parish council in particular, to make sure that the plans are the best they can be.
Probably quite a few locals might be disappointed by you saying that, but I mean, what would you say to them to reassure them that you're still on their side?
Well, the alternative is far worse. We can't stop the development going ahead. It's set in stone in terms of the plan being unable to be stopped. And if we simply don't, if we simply do nothing, the developers can put in whatever they want. And the infrastructure won't be there. The type of housing won't be what people need and want. So either we do the best we can for people and get the best development, or we get a bad one. I mean, they're the two choices. So I think we've got to go to make this the best we can.
What's the next step for both of the development? What's exactly you're going to be doing next?
So at the moment, we're setting up a steering group involving the local councillors, the parish council, Maidstone Borough Council and the developers to start looking at what's called a supplementary planning document, which will be the sort of master plan of how it's going to look and how it's going to feel.
Does the developer have to listen to that though?
Well, they should listen. I mean, anybody can put a planning application in anywhere they like. But the idea is that they'll listen to that and they'll do, because they're part of the work, they'll put the right plans in. We can only hope, we can't force, but you know, that would be the plan.
Will we see building by the end of the decade, or are we talking a little bit longer?
Certainly I can see lids seeing happening by the end of the decade. The timetables were set out in the local plan document, the high level plan that got passed earlier this year. So I'm expecting some housing to go in a number of years, yeah.
Kent Online News.
It's been a sad day for music fans after the announcement of the shock death of former One Direction member Liam Payne at the age of 31. While the exact circumstances surrounding his death remain unclear, it's understood he fell from a balcony at a hotel in Argentina. KMFM led the tributes to Liam this morning. He was on The Breakfast Show back in 2018.
It's Gary and Chelsea on KMFM Breakfast, and if you've happened to open your phone this morning or flick on the news, then you will know the very, very sad story that's been put everywhere today, that we have lost One Direction's Liam Payne.
Yeah, passed away at the age of just 31. Obviously, thoughts go to family and friends. You know, we didn't know him. We didn't know him anymore, no, really, than you guys did. But everyone has, I think, sort of memories of 1D stuff. They were so huge, so huge.
Massive.
Apart from his solo stuff that he did more recently. But, you know, One Direction, he was kind of local lad done good from where you're from,
yeah,
up north.
Yeah, he was. He's a Wolverhampton boy, so he's literally from the town next to mine. And I remember him being on X Factor, and it was like a massive deal that somebody from like our neck of the woods was, yeah, doing something awesome. And we all like rallied behind him. And I literally had posters of One Direction. I think a lot of people, yeah, my age did, on their wall. We all rallied behind these boys and like seen them transform into like the people they now are, or were. So it's just really sad, yeah, to hear news like this when somebody had such a pivotal like impact on the music industry,
yeah,
as well.
And on so many people. I mean, I think of the listening to One Direction over and over and over again and loving it still, and because it becomes, you know, a family thing, and you know, the, yeah, kids wanted to listen to it and we listened to it and we all loved it, and we've all got those memories of listening to 1D songs. And you know, there's going to be a lot of people like that that they'll think of those, certainly the early 1D songs, and they'll think of like times of them with, yeah, the kids, maybe, or just kids with their friends, just singing along and, yeah, just having fun to all those brilliant videos as well.
I was going to say the best music videos, just so many bangers that you dance along to like your birthday parties or like when you're having picnics with your friends and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a big story, and I think it's going to have a big impact on a lot of people.
Yeah.
And our heart goes out to you all, really.
Yeah, absolutely. When we did have him on the show, it was back in 2018. So his son Bear was very wee. He was very little at that point. He's 7 years old now. And he was talking about basically to us. He was so nice. He was so down to earth. You know, he had time for us. The fact that he did an interview with the little old KMFM Breakfast, you know, it was a good measure of the fella. But he talked about things being different, being a dad, basically.
It's changed the way that success is kind of means to me a little bit, because, you know, obviously I get a lot of stick for going away and working, which I've never really understood. From like in the news a lot. I know I'm in a lot of the gossip columns and different things these days for going away all the time, but unfortunately that's part of my day job and it's what I do, although I'd love to spend every second with him. But then what am I really teaching him that you can just sit on your laurels after a bit of success and not go to work? So my thing is I have to work as hard as possible and get the most success for him that I can so that he can understand, you know, you have to work hard for the things you want. If you have a dream, you got to go and take it.
Kent Online News.
Follow Kent Online on socials to see pictures of two men police are hunting after bikes were stolen from a shop in Hythe. The store on the high street was broken into last month and the images captured on CCTV. Transport for London say they're cracking down on people who ignore ULEZ fines on the Kent border. They've recovered more than £25 million for enforcement action over unpaid penalties in the space of 12 months. More than 1,400 vehicles have also been seized. A Sheppey teenager is preparing to start chemotherapy after being diagnosed with cancer just months after having a liver transplant. Ruby Gray was diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis in August 2020 and has now been told she has non-Hodgkin lymphoma. The 19-year-old is raising money for a wig as she'll lose her hair during her treatment. Thousands of Year 6 pupils will be finding out today if they've passed the Kent test. The exam determines who can apply for a grammar school place for next September. Parents have until the end of the month to submit their four choices and offers will be sent out next March. Now, Visit Kent have unveiled a five-year plan which sets out how to boost tourism. There are 60 million visitors to the county each year who contribute £3.8 billion to the local economy, creating almost 75,000 jobs. But there are challenges to overcome, like limited accommodation and negative perceptions around traffic. Deirdre Wells is Visit Kent's CEO. She's been speaking to Lucy.
The purpose of the plan is to really set out two things. One is an ambitious blueprint and roadmap for how we're going to increase the benefits of tourism to the county, but also I think taking a really, honest look at both the advantages and the challenges for the county.
So with the five-year plan, what are you doing differently to what's been done before? And could you go over some of the details of exactly what you're setting out to do?
So the destination management plan has four key pillars. One is on place, one is on prosperity, one on product, and one on people and planet. Place is really around addressing the perceptions of Kent, both its strengths and its weaknesses, but not just from a visitor economy perspective, but actually looking at our destination as a whole as somewhere that is a great place to visit, but also to live and to invest. The prosperity is really around recognising the huge importance of the sector, but also looking at how do we increase overnight stays, how do we increase the dwell time and also the spend of our visitors. The product development is really about, again, building on our work over many years and particularly our recent and final European project called Experience. Many visitors are saying they don't simply just want to go and passively visit an attraction, but they want to get behind the scenes. They want to do gin tasting. They want to do those fun experiences, which in some cases they don't realise they can get on the doorstep in Kent. But the really interesting, I suppose, and the particularly new aspect of our plans is the final pillar on people and planet. For many, many decades, I think, you know, the tourism sector has had their homework marked by how many people came and how much did they spend. But, you know, we really want to be a leading sustainable destination. We've already done a lot in this space and launched a sustainability action plan. But this is very much around supporting our visitors to travel in a more mindful way, but also to recognise the well-being benefits of being close to nature. You know, we live in a beautiful county. We're very blessed to do that. And actually, engaging with nature, engaging with our landscape, taking that time, that leisure time to connect with nature may not have a direct economic impact, but we know how good it is for people's well-being and how important it is for that community cohesion and pride in place. So we want to put our people and our beautiful landscape at the heart of this plan.
One of the things mentioned as well was Kent's winemaking industry, which I know has completely taken off in recent years. What's been done at Visit Kent to kind of boost that and encourage more people to get out there and try some Kentish wines?
You're absolutely right. It is transformational in terms of both how the landscape looks. Every time you drive around, you see a new field that's been turned into vineyards. One would think one was in Provence. The fact that we are further east, that we have less rainfall, that we are the sunniest county in the country means that our opportunity for our vineyards is huge. And we've been working very closely with the Wine Garden of England, who we were instrumental in setting up, to really support that wine tourism, working with tour operators to bring more and more visitors to see our fantastic vineyards. Great interest in markets such as the US or Scandinavia. We might take us a little bit longer to convince the French, or they might come and visit, but they won't talk about it. But no, it's very, very exciting.
Kent Online News.
The owners of a popular Medway animal charity have warned they could be forced to close because of a shortfall in funding. Animals Lost and Found has been rescuing animals and reuniting owners with their pets for more than 10 years. It costs around £3,000 a month to run, but bosses say the cost of living crisis has seen a drop in donations. A lion that's been rescued from war-torn Ukraine has ventured outside in his temporary home in Belgium for the first time. Rory has spent the past month in quarantine after travelling across Europe. He's said to have suffered shell shock as a result of the conflict and will eventually have a forever home at the Big Cat Sanctuary in Smarden. Two new bison calves have been born in Woodland near Canterbury. The pair arrived just 4 days apart to mums who arrived from Ireland in July 2022 as part of a wilding project. The animals are being used to boost biodiversity in Blean Woods and make the area more resilient to climate change. I've been speaking to Simon Bateman-Brown. He's from the Kent Wildlife Trust.
It's always quite difficult to tell when they're in calf or not. We suspect and it is part of a breeding program, so it is, you know, intended. It wasn't that much of a surprise, but it's always nice when you turn up one day and instead of six bison you've now got eight. So it's always, in that sense, it's very much a surprise.
And how are the little ones coping? How are they adapting? How are they getting to know their surroundings? How are they settling in?
They're doing brilliantly. Yeah, so our European bison are in 50 hectares of West Blean, and they're carrying out management of the site to eat the vegetation and trample past the woodlands and take some of the smaller trees and things down. But obviously, these calves are quite small, but we've got four fully grown adults and one calf that's pretty much an adult now as well amongst the herd. And they're busy bashing down the trees and opening up the undergrowth. But the calves are getting stuck in as well. They're straight away getting to know their surroundings, getting to know the woodlands, and starting to do basically the job, the purpose they're there for, which is wonderful. But yeah, they're doing well. The mums are doing well as well. And they're properly integrated as part of the herd now, which is really, really good.
In terms of intervention, so from your point of view, are you just watching, just observing? Is there any circumstances where you might intervene, sort of give them a helping hand along the way?
We carry out welfare checks on the bison every single day. So yeah, the welfare and the health of the bison is of paramount importance, of course. So we carry out daily checks, as we do with the rest of our animals at Kent Wildlife Trust. We have over 800 animals working on our nature reserves, but we have eight European bison, so it's a relatively small number compared to the whole, but very important, of course. And yes, our welfare checks are taken out every single day. Where there are concerns, they're obviously looked at properly. Where there might be issues, for example, over the winter, where there might not be quite so much food, then we'll look at helping out if required. Yeah, so if we need to intervene, of course we will. But really, the purpose of this project is to intervene as little as possible. We want them to be as naturalistic as they possibly can be. We don't want them to get used to human interference. We don't want them to get used to food being brought to them or them to be fed. We want them to be out there managing that area of the countryside, that nature reserve, the way that they are naturally meant to do.
And I suppose that runs to, if people hear that there are two new bison calf running around, people shouldn't, it's not a tourist attraction, you know. It would be unhelpful if people were sort of flocking, trying to get a glimpse, even as you say, trying to bring food or things like that.
Certainly not to bring food. We absolutely ask, please don't try and feed the bison or any of our other animals. That's actually can cause quite a bit of harm to the animals, so please don't do that. But by all means, come to the site, come to West Blean, see if you can spot the bison. They're in 50 hectares at the moment, soon hopefully to be 200 hectares once we open up with our bison bridges. But they're still quite elusive in the woodland. But there are public rights of way that run around the outside of the area where the bison are. So yeah, come along, have a look, see if you can spot them.
Kent Online News.
House of Fraser in Maidstone is due to reopen today after a six-month revamp. The department store in Fremlin Walk has been given a makeover and now includes new outlets. It's also had a rebrand and is now just Fraser's. There's going to be a supermoon in the skies over Kent tonight. It's known as the Hunter's Moon and is set to be the brightest of the year. It happens when the moon is closest to Earth. Now that's all from us today. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, why not check out the latest Eat My Words review? They've been to an Egyptian eatery in Margate.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.